Are we ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
We are so ready.
I think we're ready. I think we're ready, Ryan. You're good? We're good?
That's right, a thumbs up. Good.
That's a thumbs up for this week's episode, which is episode 61 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I'm the little devil on your shoulder urging you to pick up more foils for all of your decks.
You don't exist on my shoulders.
I do. You just ignore me.
No, I just traded you Lazav. Not for me.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And did you know that Ilharg, the Raze Boar, actually has a partner?
No.
It said you can hear Ilharg's bays roar from across the plains.
Please listen carefully.
I really liked that play on words. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that was good. That was good. It was very clever.
That's pretty much all I got going for me. So
that you're clever?
Well, I guess I'm okay at magic.
But... Yeah. Yeah. You're okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
Yeah. So, before we start, we want to thank all of our patrons. We appreciate all of your support. And if you would like to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. We produce Commander content weekly online, and then we record new episodes every week here for your listening pleasure. And we really appreciate all that you do. So send along your comments, and we will use those for further episodes. Yeah.
Appreciate you. Whatever form you're listening onto, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, or YouTube, if you could drop a subscription or drop a like Andy just mentioned, drop a comment. We're always looking to improve. Also, we are affiliated with TCG Player. So in the show notes below, you can find a TCG Player affiliate link for all of your singles and sealed product that you are buying through TCG Player. You can also find it on our website at guardianprojectpodcast.com.
If you want to throw us comments too, we're cool with that. We usually say drop them.
Drop, toss, throw, leave.
Hand, place. Deliberately.
Pick, place. Pick and place. Pick them, place them.
Pack and play?
Pack and... That's another two-word combination.
That's a thing.
That is a thing.
That I do know exists.
Yeah, that's about how I'm on what so, I know about it too.
Speaking of using TCG Player to purchase singles... Can I just say how sad I am that there's still no jumpstart to purchase?
Yeah.
So I couldn't find any. So our LGSs didn't have any.
Right.
And then I didn't order any online, and I didn't pre-order it. It slipped my mind. But if I had, our LGSs didn't have extra to allocate
for sure.
Anyway.
For sure.
And so I talked to one of our LGSs recently, and they actually said that their distributor let them know that they have no idea when mm-hmm. they might get any. And I just realized that it's probably one of my favorite products that has come out recently, Magic-wise. Like, love the commander sets, but there's so many commanders that came out of that set mm-hmm. that the elf, the mono green that turns elves into also dinosaurs. I can't, missing the name right now.
Yeah, I don't remember.
That card is like $70.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. Tiny Bones is still around 50. Bruvac mm-hmm. is still around 50.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't open Bruvac. I did need one, but I wanted to really open. But I did get Tiny Bones. So that was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I resealed them. Actually, I have the Cuban Majigs resealers.
Yeah.
So we can play it over and over. But I would like to get like another 10 packs. And
yeah.
So I ended up finding packs at our Target near us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, the nice guy I am, I only bought a couple. I said, I'm not going to buy them all. There's other people that want this. Mm-hmm. And now I really wish I had bought all of them because I think I got 8 packs total. So
okay.
We could play twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have just scooped all that up because I don't know if we're going to get a second wave of that.
It
now.
Doesn't. Wizards says it's going to be printed demand, but they're going to have to do a brand new print run later on because it sounds like whatever they're doing now isn't going to reach stores. Because it's more than just our local game stores. Because sometimes I buy product from other game stores in
yeah.
parts of the country, and yeah, they have this. They're all dealing with the same thing when it comes to Jumpstart. There's some issues with some people's Double Masters allocations. Most stores were good on Double Masters, though.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess I don't know if there's going to be a second wave of Double Masters. Some stores say yes. Some stores say we can't sell what we have. So why would we? So I don't know.
Of Double Masters, mm-hmm. that they can't sell what they currently have of that?
Yeah, not all of it.
Really?
Yeah, they might be selling their stuff at a little bit of a higher price than what's online, though.
Okay.
They might be charging, like, 120 for a VIP pack and 300, 320 for a booster box or something.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get not wanting to purchase something that is already the most expensive.
Oh, for sure.
Card. You know, okay. Oh, the card was Allosaurus Shepherd. So Allosaurus Shepherd is the 1/1 Elf Shaman for one. It's $70.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just super underprinted. Looking at Jumpstart, actually, Allosaurus is at 70. Tiny Bones is 50. Bruvac is 44. Mm-hmm. Craterhoof is basically 40. Emil, the Unicorn is 35. And Muxus is 35. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's a lot of cards over $20 though.
Yeah, Jumpstart, obviously, we talked about the print run, hasn't been opened enough. That's why all these cards are fetching such premium prices, and they're rare.
And Jumpstart, there's 5 whole boxes for sale. Nope, there's more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 places, and some of them have 2 boxes. It looks like the lowest listed is at $220 for a box.
Yeah.
That is really expensive for a box of Jumpstart.
Yeah.
Man, let's get more Jumpstart. Give me more.
Watsy, please and thank you.
Please and thanks. What are we talking about this week?
This week, we're going to talk about one big giant subject. We're going to talk about commanders that we consider kill on sight.
Yes. So these are commanders that are hard to deal with, can steamroll, maybe were pushed a bit more than they should have been. And it's really hard to let them live for more than a single turn, I guess, even or two.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just one turn was too many turns.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So these aren't based in any specific reasoning. These are based in personal experiences from what we've actually seen. Toon decks can be extremely powerful. And even if these commanders are not the most powerful of all commanders, some of them are, but not from our perspective, right. Not from the way we're discussing it.
Correct.
A lot of these may or may not be on the radar of the general population of players of Commander. Although we did reach out in a tweet and we reached out to our Discord group, and some of our commanders were listed, and then there were a lot of commanders listed.
Yeah. Some of the commanders that we talked about today, some of the commanders that are at home in our sealed boxes, not sealed, in our closets and stuff.
Drawers, shelves.
Wherever you decide to store
your magic
commander decks.
Your magic cards.
But yeah, no, there's,
Some of the, for online, here, why don't you go through the list of folks that on Twitter told us.
Yeah, so on Twitter, we got responses like Gitrog Monster, obviously.
Yeah.
Yennett, Cryptic Sovereign, Animar, which... Personally, I hate Animar, so it might have been my comment. Yeah. Kenrith the Return King, huge. Psymaster Thopterus, and then Karlov of the Ghost Council.
Which I thought that one was interesting, but obviously each meta and everybody's play group has things that are different. So I'm sure a pretty tuned, pretty strong Karlov deck is probably, you know, wreaking some havoc.
Somewhere.
And then we asked our Discord, and we got a lot of responses. So Crick, Son of Yawgmoth, Corvold, someone said all slivers,
just all of them,
it doesn't matter. Send triplets, Narset Enlightened Master, Joda Archmage Eternal, Empress Galena, which I can understand that one, it's probably situational, and then Morph on the Boundless.
That one's fine.
Yeah, it's fine when you're playing it.
Well, say I've had two Morph on builds. There was one that was a problem that needed to be taken apart, and now it's just kind of fun.
I don't remember the original Morphon.
Oh, it was Eldrazi.
Oh, I do remember that one because we felt bad because we were just beating up on you, and then you did nothing for like 3 turns, and then it was like 12 Eldrazi.
I played a Fist of Suns and then cast all of my Eldrazi for free.
So looking at this, we have a couple of these decks. I have a Ninette deck, but it's based off of a pre-con. I have played against the Psymaster Thopterist. You have Gitrog Monster.
So actually, it's kind of funny. Gitrog Monster and Kenrith. And Send Triplets were all decks that I've had previously that I took apart because they're not that fun to play with.
I had Narset and Enlightened Master. I took that one apart. I still have Joda, but I'm playing Joda Planeswalker, so it's a theme deck, but it's still really good,
right?
And should still be removed.
Right. And I'm playing Morophon, and in my version of Morophon, it's actually not advantageous to remove Morophon. you're just helping me.
Yeah, because you can change it to the other creature that the other creature type that you're holding, because you have all legendaries.
Right. So it's a very unique setup. So, but in most cases, yeah, Morophon's probably a remove on site.
Yeah. So the again, these commanders were picked by ones that we played against, and we avoided CEDH altogether. That's not that. What that's not what this discussion is. It's just whether it's played in competitive or casual or budget. These commanders do so much work that you really shouldn't let them live.
Right.
And if you do, you may start to see snowball effects.
Right.
That you just can't deal with. So I know we've mentioned it before in the past, and it still holds true here. I've played against this online since we've been playing at home in quarantine and after. And the first one that I chose is Nigella the Blade Blossom.
Absolutely.
There's been discussion online. There's been discussion on the command zone. There's been discussion everywhere. Nigella at budget, doing almost no work, trying to synergize other than shoving in warriors and then lands of all five colors, is just an extremely powerful deck.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, itself is part of a 2-card combo that can create infinite mana. The single card makes tokens whenever a warrior attacks. Nigella doesn't even need to swing. She can just stand back and say, well, go, my little plebes. And and if a couple of you go, I'm okay with that. But I'll bring more friends the next time. And although it's a tribal deck, it really gets out of hand immediately, because it comes down on turn three, but on turn one and two, you likely played a warrior.
That's true.
And then you swing, and then you have two warriors, and maybe on turn two or turn three, if someone's playing a slower deck that isn't at that same power, even if it's a budget deck, they can't block. And then you, as the Nigella player, from what I've seen, I've never had a Nigella, from what I've seen is they swing at the player that can't block anything so that they can just continue to build, which makes total sense.
Right.
So it's extremely efficient at what it does, and it's fast and aggressive and rebuilds really fast.
Easily.
And this specific version that we're discussing is a version that wins through actual combat. It's not winning through infinite combos, because although a Nigella is a very good deck to deal with a couple of infinite combos, but some of these go, they're not even infinite, and you're just out of
it. Just your league. Just keeps coming back and keeps coming back, no matter how much removal you can use. Yeah, and it just keeps coming back.
Because you cast Nigella for five then, and you go, okay, well, I'll swing with these eight warriors that I already had from the last turn. You're like, now there's 16? Oh my God, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
And then you need a board wipe at that point, because anything that you play that's going to lord-wise is just going to be too much for you to handle.
Right.
So a couple of cards that are, you know, you may think of when you think of Nigella is Derevi, Imperial Tactician. It has, whenever it enters the battlefield or a creature you control deals damage to a player, you untap target permanent. So that alone, with just a couple of 1/1 warriors, can untap your five lands, which allows you to activate Nigella's ability to untap your attacking creatures. They gain lifelink, trample, and haste until end of turn, and then you get another combat, and you go infinite with just Derevi and a couple of creatures. Champion of Lamholt, whenever it attacks, creatures with power less than it cannot block creatures you control. And whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So if you swing with like three creatures that are all warriors, you're going to put three counters on Champion of Lamholt. And then it's just, you can't block anymore then for the rest of the game.
Right.
Druid's Repository, when you swing at the creature, you put a charge counter on it. You can remove a charge counter to add one mana of any color. That mana can go directly into Nigella's ability to just activate. And it just becomes infinite. It's just so inherently built into this deck. It's hard to not have it.
Yeah, you're always going to go there. You're always going to take, you know, three combats in a turn. That will happen.
Right. I mean, you can play fun cards like Bramblewood Paragon that makes your warriors enter with counters on them and gives them trample. That's fun. But when you have five warriors enter and you have 10 trample coming at someone just for swinging on turn, what?
Four
or three if you're playing fast mana of any kind. Brutal Horde Chief, whenever a creature you control attacks, defending player loses one life and you gain one. So really, you're swinging for two for each warrior then. It's just the deck, I think, is one where if you see Nigella, you remove Nigella, and it's hard because everybody targets that one person, but you realize that they get one turn around, you may not actually get another turn.
Right.
And I've had to learn to stop feeling so bad.
Sometimes you got to do it.
Sometimes you just have to remove it. I mean, Commander is about having fun, but it's also, it's even worse when you just get steamrolled because you, the one turn you had a response, you just didn't take it.
Right.
You were like, oh, you know, they had, they got, it got Doombladed and then it got Path and now they spent 7 mana and it's like, yeah, but there's a reason why everybody's mm-hmm. using every single piece of removal they have on that one creature.
Mm-hmm.
and for good reason.
For absolutely good
reason. For good reason. So for my first, I chose Najeela. I think it is a commander that absolutely needs to be removed immediately.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Totally agree. All right. The first commander that I picked, which is actually a lot less scary nowadays than it was back in the day, is Captain Cisse. So this is not Cisse Weatherlight Captain, which is the new 5-color Cisse, but this is the 2-color Cisse from Legends?
No, not Legends. Weatherlight. It's part of the Weatherlight saga.
Yeah.
No, it was not that old.
So Captain Cisse is a 4-mana 2/2. So for 2, a green and a white, you get a 2/2 legendary human. This is search. You can tap her to search your library for a legend or legendary card, reveal that card, and put it into your hand. Then shuffle your library. So all it's doing is tutoring up legendary stuff once per turn. No big deal, right?
She's from Invasion.
Okay, she's from Invasion. So it is kind of a big deal to be able to search up all the legendary cards, not just legendary creatures or anything.
You need a legendary Mox? Here you go.
Yeah, you need a Gaia's Cradle? There you go. Yeah, there's just, it is a little bit of an expensive deck. But
you want a Helm of the Host?
Helm of the Host is the big one now. So it used to be Paradox Engine. Paradox Engine was always the number one grab for Cisse. Because then every time you cast something, you get to untap Cisse and go search for the next legendary. And then you go search for Mox Opal,
and it just chained into your win con. I have lost that a few times at one of our commander leagues. And obviously that was like 2 years ago. But that sometimes when you got to watch it go off the first couple times, you're like, that's really cool. But then you say, she has to go before you can tap her.
Right.
You cannot tap that creature.
No. So like if they play some like Lightning Greaves or something, you have to make sure that you're going to have a response when they cast Cisse to go attach it to. But majority of the deck is if they're playing it the way that Captain Cisse used to be played, it's hate bears, aka low CMC creatures that are going to prevent your opponents from doing the things that they want unless they pay some sort of tax. Sometimes it taxes and bears on top of giant legendary creatures and cards that are just going to kill you. They're mm-hmm. going to search up, oh, you're playing a tokens deck? Oh, guess what card I'm searching up first? Elesh Norn. And I'm going to try to get that on the battlefield as soon as I can.
Yeah.
So it's just really easy to go and find all of your mana pieces. Go and find your cards like Umbral Mantle that you could pay 3 and untap Cisse. It's an equipment. If you're playing stacks, if you're even playing planeswalkers, you can go find all your planeswalkers. There's no restriction on what legendary creature you can find. So you're just playing a ball of giant legendary creatures that are going to eventually swing at your opponent and die. So now you might say, oh, well, it's just searching for one and they still have to cast it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you're just giving them free card advantage every single turn if you're doing that. And it's always a huge bomb. Every card they look for is a bomb.
Well, they can search for the answers. There's a legendary creature for everything.
It's
granted, you're in 2 colors, right? So you're in green and white. You're limited to green and white. Green and white have a lot of removal.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pesky enchantment or artifact that they don't want. They're going to go grab something to deal with it.
It's true.
They don't want you to swing at them. They're going to grab something. They need lifelink. They're going to go grab Dragonlord Dromoka. Right, Dragonlord Dromoka has lifelink, and then they can't cast. So. Or is that the one that just has they can't cast spells on? You can't cast spells during their turn. Dragonlord Dromoka itself, yeah. So flying lifelink 5/7 during your opponents can't cast spells during your turn.
Okay,
that's really great
because
you grab that, you play it out. It's a 5/7, can't be countered. It's really hard to deal with.
That's true. Now it is more than just legendary creatures though too. Mm-hmm. It's just legendary cards. It's not even legendary permanents. So you can go and find your legendary sorceries like Urza's Ruinous Blast and Kamal's Druidic Vow if you just need to, you know, redo your hand or if you need to board wipe. There's still cards you can search for. So it becomes limited to green white, to be fair, but it becomes a green white toolbox deck, which is very difficult to deal with. So that is why Captain Cisse is kill on sight.
Kill on sight. The next commander that I have on my list is Selvala, Heart of the Wilds.
Oh, yeah.
Why? It's just green. It just ramps.
Yeah, mono green's never been good in Magic.
Have you played against mono green ramp? Uh-huh. The card is interesting, but it doesn't do anything overtly powerful on its own.
Correct.
Sure, it'll tap for mana if it's the only creature that you have, but it's in the best color for ramp, and it also does this very effectively. Mm-hmm. So most of the cards this deck plays are threats, right? So that's the problem. It's similar to Captain Sisse. Mm-hmm. Everything you drop is probably going to do something. Mm-hmm. So it plays with cards like Void Winnower, so your opponents can't cast even spells and can't block with even CMC creatures. Mm-hmm. It plays Vorinclex to lock your opponent's mana down, doubles your mana, also really helps with Selvala because it's got high power. Mm-hmm. Greater Hoof Behemoth into just a big swing.
Yep.
Because you can tap Selvala after Greater Hoof Behemoth comes down, taps for a bunch of mana. And then sometimes you just use, 15 mana into a Genesis Wave or a Genesis Hydra. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know what? I don't even need a creature for this one. I'm just going to put out 12 things.
Yeah.
Or Genesis Hydra, I'm going to look this many. I'm going to look this far down. And I'm going to grab the best thing that you can grab. So, there's some issues with this. And there's some ones that you would say, oh, well, it costs a lot of mana. It's, like Terastodon is a card that it's really hard because it's been printed in precons.
Mm-hmm.
And Terastodon, I actually feel bad playing Terastodon because you can't kill creatures and you're likely going to hit people's lands.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going to hit people's lands, the job is to take someone out of a specific color. And then at that point, I actually don't like doing that because I'd be very sad myself if someone said, oh, well, you're playing red and blue and I see you only have 3 red lands and 6 blue. I'm just going to hit all 3 of your mountains. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I guess I'm not going to play anymore.
Right. Except for counter spells the entire time. So you don't want to do that either.
I don't, and you can, I guess if I had a stifle, that would have been very nice.
Oh, that's true. For that. That's very true.
So, Selvala goes infinite. You actually mentioned a card, Umbral Mantle. Mm-hmm. Umbral Mantle works really well with Selvala because you pay 3, you untap it. And as long as you're making more than 3 mana, you just go infinite with Selvala. Staff of Domination does the exact same thing. If with Selvala, you can pay 1 to untap the staff, tap Selvala for your mana, pay mana into staff to tap an untapped target creature. And as long as you have enough mana, mm-hmm. you go infinite with Staff of Domination as well. And that tends to just turn into big. And you're like, okay, so you have infinite mana.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play a card that lets you draw cards equal to the greatest power. And you probably are playing Galta.
Right.
So you're like, okay, well, then let me draw. It's 12, right? I think it's 12. Mm-hmm. It's 12, 12?
It's 12, 12.
So you're like, okay, let me just casually draw 12 cards. And then all of a sudden, you're just dead. And so you find yourself on turn 4 up against like 19 mana.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with that much mana.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I put Selvala on this list.
Yeah, I'd say I was looking up some of the combos and stuff for Selvala. I think just the base advantage you get from play a creature. Now my guy taps for way more mana and I get to play a second creature.
Oh, and hold on. I'm sorry. I also forgot something.
Oh, okay.
With Selvala, if you cast a creature, you can draw a card if it's got power greater than every other creature on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, yours is going to be. I forgot. The card also draws cards.
Yes, that's right.
And I do remember we did get a response on Twitter that said, any commander that has do X and draw a card.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of commanders that have you can draw cards for whatever reason. Selvala fits the bill there.
Yeah. There's actually a commander we're going to talk about later on that I think should definitely be like number one on the list that isn't on there. But the one combo I did want to talk about in Selvala, which I didn't know was a thing, and I haven't seen someone do it,
okay,
is casting Phyrexian Dreadnought for 1 mana.
Okay.
To get a 12-12.
Yeah.
That has an ETB effect that goes on the stack. Then you tap Selvala for 12 green.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh yeah, Phyrexian Dreadnought buy. And then you cast Emrakul and take someone's turn on turn 4.
That's disgusting.
On turn 4.
Or sooner if you played Selvala out sooner.
That's true. That's true. You could do that.
So again, these are not all based on specific combos.
No.
But
I found it.
But right. But general decks though,
mm-hmm.
Void Winnower, Vorinclex, Craterhoof, Terastodon. I mean, they're not all uncommon cards to see in Commander. Are they friendly? Not necessarily, but we have played, again, grain of salt, we've played a lot of Commander mm-hmm. leagues, and mm-hmm. I've seen Selvala Heart of the Wilds in a Commander league. It also plays Tooth and Nail because you can.
Right.
Why not entwine it? Let me just go get 2 creatures and then put them into the play.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, I guess you just grabbed, a Void Winnower and Vorinclex. Real cool. I mean, yeah,
put them both in.
And unless you have answers immediately to deal with them, mm-hmm. Salvala is now going to tap for even more.
That's right.
And they're going to draw whatever they have. So I think Salvala is, I mean, I don't think. Salvala is on my list of, if you cast it, I'm going to try to remove it.
Kill on
immediately.
Sight.
On sight.
Kill on sight. Okay. So the next commander that I chose is one that I've always wanted to build, but never have built. It is very my flavor of deck. And this is, and I would like to quote a story from Dominaria.
Oh. I know what it is now.
The Weatherlight slewed sideways in Yargle's grip, and Joyra slammed into the railing again. Jaya slid across the deck on her back and shouted, "It's Meldrotha, a corrupted elemental." This is a direct quote from the Dominaria story that we had when... I'm sorry for whoever author wrote that, but that was such a terrible line.
It's not up to like the Ixalan story standard. No. Ixalan story was top
really
notch,
good.
Top
it was really
notch.
Good.
A lot of character building. Great. That one, we just know it's the corrupted elemental.
It's the
Meldrotha, the grave type.
That's right. Meldrotha.
So Meldrotha. Yeah. Okay. This one's, I'm looking forward to knowing why you would kill this one.
Well, I'd say I made a mention in our Discord earlier today as we were going through this. I kept putting down Sultai color support, and that's what makes it kill on sight. And I think that's just me hating myself a little bit, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, Meldrotha is a 6 CMC 6/6 elemental avatar. So 3 and Sultai, black, green, blue. And you get a legendary creature. It says during each of your turns, you may play up to one permanent card of each permanent type from your graveyard.
There's a lot of permanent types.
There are many permanent types.
When I say a lot, I mean you have stuff to do every turn.
Every single turn you're going to have, you're probably going to play a land. Hopefully you're playing a couple fetches. You're going to play a creature, maybe an enchantment, maybe an artifact.
Maybe.
Maybe a planeswalker. Mm-hmm. That's permanent too.
Yeah.
So Meldrotha is all about just value, 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 value. Reoccurring value, whether it's value from cards that are going to sacrifice themselves for the value, or if it's cards that enter the battlefield for the value, cards that are just good to have on the battlefield and make people use all their removal for it, and then you just cast it again next turn. So that's where Meldrotha is. Meldrotha is so consistent and just restarts all the time. Restart, restart, restart.
It does really well with cumulative upkeep cards.
Yes.
Because they just come back, and because it can cast any permanent and not just focus on one specific card type, you can have... cumulative upkeep, you decide not to pay, and then you just cast it from your graveyard, and then you never have to pay. You get around cumulative upkeep,
right? Yeah, it's like
which is really cool. I will be honest, the deck is super sweet.
Yeah, just like Glacial Chasm. You know, it's a land that makes it so people can't do damage to you.
Hey, I love that card.
Yeah, I know you do.
I played that in Lord Windgrace.
Right. So with Lord Windgrace, you have to use one of Lord Windgrace's activations.
Yes.
With Meldrotha,
yes, I do.
You have a Crucible of Worlds on a creature.
Yeah.
And you can just play it from your graveyard. So, and Meldrotha also has black in its color identity, making it so that you can play cards like Final Parting and Entomb and Gravebreaker Lamia that are going to fill your graveyard with cards that you are going to want to cast. So it has all the tutors. It has graveyard tutors, which you can basically use as hand tutors.
Correct.
It's just kind of ridiculous. And there are some combos in here that actually do go infinite. There's a Necropotence plus Second Chance. So Necropotence is a 3 CMC enchantment that says you don't draw cards anymore. Or no, it doesn't say you don't draw cards. It says you skip your draw step.
You can still
draw cards. Yep. And then you can pay one life to exile a card, and that your end step, put all the exiled cards from Necropotence into your hand. And then if you were to discard a card, you have to exile it. So the main reason Necropotence is part of this is because we want to get our life total to 5 life or lower for an enchantment called Second Chance. Second Chance, it's a blue enchantment. It costs 3 mana, ? I'm finding it. I swear it's here. I read it today.
Second Chance, yeah. It's a blue enchantment for 3. And it says during your upkeep, if you have 5 or less life, sack it. Take an extra turn. That's disgusting.
Yeah. And then you just keep playing it every single turn.
I hate everything about this, but that is pretty strong.
Now, you do have to get to 5 life. So if someone plays like double burn spell on you or something, you do die.
Shock, shock. Pew, pew. Good luck, Meldrotha player. You better have counter spells in your hand.
Which
you can do.
There are.
Because you want.
You're playing blue.
Yeah.
So you definitely want some of those things. But even just the constant, you can also do a Mindslaver lock technically, but that only helps you against one player and not three players typically. So maybe not on that one, but just like even budget cards like Spore Frog and, Nev's Disc that are going to sacrifice themselves to give you an advantage, whether it's not take combat damage or destroy all, artifacts, creatures, and enchantments that you can reoccur from your graveyard so easily just by casting it. I know Pattern of Rebirth is a really, really great enchantment people love running in Muldrotha. 4 CMC aura says enchant creature. When enchant creature dies, that creature's controller may search a library for a creature card, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle your library. You just filled your graveyard with a creature, an enchantment, and you now got a free creature that went on the battlefield.
And then you cast your old creature and then put the enchantment on that creature again, and then you just rinse and repeat.
It's kind of ridiculous.
You know, one time I did play... What was I playing? What color was it? We played it on stream. Mm-hmm. I was playing Muldrotha. Mm-hmm. Was I playing Slimefoot? No, I was playing Taze of Karlov, and I reanimated your Muldrotha.
Yep.
So we were playing with Commander Social,
mm-hmm.
and Zach and Ryan, and I said, okay, I'm going to reanimate this, and I was able to replay an enchantment and like a creature. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I needed to get back pieces that you had removed from my Taze of Karlov engine of my Death Panharmonicon.
Yes.
And I said, okay, let's get these cards back. Even if I just get these two, they're going to have to re-remove them, but they probably want to get rid of Muldrotha first and not the other creature that I brought back or whatever it was that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Muldrotha lived for 3 turns and I got everything I had back, but it took 3 players to remove everything I had over a period of 3 turns
mm-hmm.
before Muldrotha got destroyed, and it took everybody's resources. Yeah. Muldrotha needed to go.
It has to. It really is too strong to keep it on the battlefield.
I also really like playing it when I'm not in Saltai colors. You just reanimate it and you get the benefit. It's really nice.
Turns out Saltai legendary creatures are really good. another permanent type of people I don't think play often enough in Muldrotha, and maybe because it might be considered too casual for some people, are sagas. I think sagas are super strong in Muldrotha. They are enchantments that you can cast from your graveyard. They do sacrifice themselves after 3 or 4 turns, depending on which saga we're talking about. I think there's a 2-turn one as well. But yeah, you can always just keep reoccurring those. The Eldest Reborn is an absolutely amazing saga. Kioribeth the Sea God, if you have the mana for it.
I cast that on stream the other day.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
So Muldrotha, value engine, corrupted elemental that is attacking Yargle so that the Weatherlight can get away.
Yep.
That's why it is on the... Kill on Sight?
Yeah. Kill on Sight.
We've only said it like 12 times.
So we're already in Saltai color, so why leave now? Why leave now?
I love it.
Personally. We didn't actually plan this way.
No.
So my next card is also in Saltai colors.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Yarok the Desecrated. So it's a 3/5 with Death Touch and Lifelink for 2 colorless, a green, a black, and a blue. And it says if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, it triggers an additional time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a Panharmonicon for... permanents entering the battlefield.
Kind of.
And not even creatures and not even just creatures and artifacts. So it is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Coil has a Yarok deck, but granted, you are playing an energy-based deck, so it is not the norm. Although there's
there's a lot of the norm.
There is a lot of the norm, mm-hmm. but you have an energy sub-theme, yes. So I feel like it's not as ridiculous as it could be.
That is correct.
But is still... really even strong. In your version, I still remove Yarok right away.
You have to.
So who doesn't want that Panharmonicon in the command zone? The deck's also in Saltai colors. Ooh. They have counter spells and removal.
Mm-hmm.
Reanimation. Who would have guessed? This deck does everything.
This deck does everything.
So it's a deck that you really need to explain your theme to people, and mm-hmm. for good reason, because if you don't want it to get removed immediately, it's probably going to be now. Yeah. Coil will sit down at a table, and every time you've gone, this is an energy theme Yarok deck. It's still good, but it's definitely energy themed.
Mm-hmm.
When I play out this card that has... when it enters the battlefield, get an energy. I can get energy for maybe Aetherwind Basker later in the game or something.
Yeah, because when Yarok out, I get 2 energy for playing that spell.
Right. So if you are playing this, you probably tend to tell people what your theme is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've learned that there is a reason why Wizards creates cards with the number of triggers on them that they do.
Yeah.
They were not intended to be abused like Yarok abuses them.
Yeah.
You're going to cast a Peregrine Drake and untap five lands? Why not just untap 10?
That's true. And then blink it a bunch of times?
Yeah. Yeah, just untap 10. Totally reasonable. Seems five fine. CMC, untap 10 lands?
I mean, it's even untap five lands twice. So that if you only have five lands, you can still do it.
Right. It was really good. Mm-hmm. Agent of Treachery. Why only gain control of one permanent when you can just gain control of two permanents and then bounce it three times?
You can only gain control of one permanent.
Oh, Agent of Treachery does not actually...
Oh, no, Agent of Treachery.
No, Agent. I'm sorry. That's what I was saying.
I thought you were talking about Treachery for a
no,
second. My bad.
Agent of Treachery.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you're going to gain control of two permanents. Mm-hmm. Here, and it's permanents.
It sure
so,
is.
So... why not gain control of two and then bounce it three times in the same turn and mm-hmm. actually gain control of six or eight?
And they're all lands. You monster.
Yeah, because you're probably also playing, you know, Field of the Dead or some crap.
It so would be nice.
You might as well. Or, you know, Solemn Simulacrum? I'm just going to grab two lands.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Or Eternal Witness? I'm going to grab two cards from my graveyard. It's... so absurd mm-hmm. sometimes when you see these cards come down and you go, it does that? I didn't even know that card had an enter the battlefield trigger. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize anyone played this card.
Right.
Oh, but it's value when you can do it twice. Like maybe when you do it once, it might not be that good, but if you can do it two times in one turn,
mm-hmm.
I just learned that, yeah, there's a reason why cards have the number of triggers on them that they do.
For sure.
And you're also playing Yarok, or I'm sorry, Panharmonicon. You're mm-hmm. playing backups for these mm-hmm. things, and you're playing blink effects, which is in Sultai colors, you've got a lot in blue.
Right.
So you're pretty good to go. And then you've got your Yarok protection, like I said, with counter spells, reanimation. I've seen Yarok go to the graveyard, and then the next turn it's just recast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even off of a Moldrotha.
Yeah, Moldrotha is like the number one permanent that you can put in the 99 for a Yarok deck, for
yeah.
sure.
And for that reason, oh. I kill this on site.
So we talked very briefly before. I said one card that I think should go on the list that we didn't talk about, or that we don't plan to talk about, and I think is honestly the best card in Yarok, is Tatiova, Benefic Druid.
Oh.
Definitely kill on site commander. So it's a 5 CMC 3/3. It says whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life and draw a card.
Yeah.
Yarok does not say like when something enters the battlefield, if it has a trigger, you double it. It says if you control a permanent that triggers when something enters the battlefield.
Right.
Even if it's something enters your opponent's battlefield. But Tatiova, it makes it so every time you play a land, you're drawing two cards and gaining two life.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous engine.
But yeah.
I just wanted to make
so
sure.
Now, that was your extra flavor.
Yes.
You know, we're just throwing one in for good measure.
Gotta do it.
So we'd also kill Tatiova on site.
Kill Tatiova on site. That's the real thing. All right. So my next commander is Shulane, Teller of Tales. And I don't actually know if that's the correct pronunciation, because I heard it has a Celtic pronunciation, actually.
I've always pronounced it Shulane. Mm-hmm. I also believe that there is...
It's like Shulne or something. It's different.
I've called it Shulane.
Yeah.
So
that's I bet you know what card I'm talking about, even if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
The Teller of Tales?
It is Teller of Tales.
We can tell you some tales.
So Shulane is a 5 CMC 2/4 human druid.
You should have said, let me tell you some tales.
Let me tell you some tales. So for two, a green, white, blue, you get this 2/4 human druid with vigilance that says whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. This goes along with what one of our people on Twitter said, and said any commander that says you get to draw a card when you do something should be kill on sight. And that's what Shulane does. But it also has another ability. It says pay 3 and tap, return target creature you control to its owner's hand. So it allows for some recursion of some creatures. So Shulane is hashtag value engine. You know, you play a creature, you get to draw a card and play another land. Oh, did I draw another creature? Oh, get to play that creature.
So is it just Simic plus white? That's what we want to call this. I know it's Bant, but I feel like Simic's been real pushed, and we've had a couple of cards in a row that have both blue and green in them.
Yeah, Simic plus white is probably a really, really good title for this. I mean, you do get to play. I mean, there's a lot of good, a lot of people, if they're playing Shulane at the top level that they can, they're playing Hate Bears. Again, low, there are two CMC creatures that make it so your opponents have more difficult time doing the things that they want to do. And I think that's the big thing that white adds to Shulane, as well as removal. But yeah, really green, blue creatures and card draw. If you want to do a land type effect, that's, you could go that direction. But the fact that Shu Lane has three different cards that can go infinite in the deck itself, just in creatures, is kind of...
Which ones?
So we have Shrieking Drake. Shrieking Drake is a one CMC Drake creature with flying that says when Shrieking Drake comes into play, return a creature you control to its owner's hand.
Okay.
So for one blue, you draw a card and you can put a land from your hand on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over. Yeah. And if you have, I mean, you're playing a land, the land is probably coming in untapped if it's like a basic or something. So you could be getting mana that you don't have yet. You could be, you know, playing just another island so that you can keep recurring it. If you have anything that's going to net you mana when it comes in, like Intruder Alarm. So Intruder Alarm says whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you untap all permanents or all non-land permanents you control. Oh, sorry, it says creatures don't untap during the controller's untap steps. Whenever a creature comes into play, untap all creatures.
Yeah.
So if you have Mana Dorks, which in white, you actually are open up to Fey Burrow Elder and some of these other really big mana dorks that are going to be able to help you produce either an infinite amount of mana, draw your entire deck. Maybe you're going to play a Laboratory Maniac. Peregrine Drake is another really good card that we just talked about in Yark, where you can untap five lands when it comes in. So Peregrine Drake, then you can tap Chu Lane, return Peregrine Drake to your hand, cast Peregrine Drake again. If you have ways to untap Chu Lane, it is just value engine. And if they're playing it right and they're playing Hate Bears, it's going to be difficult for you to get around it. Yeah. Luckily, they're probably going to play Shu Lane first to get ultimate value, which means you can remove it first.
I've seen a Shu Lane deck that didn't actually, it actually just used it for the colors and then didn't even cast Shu Lane. And I said, well, the rest of the deck was just real strong because that deck won.
Yeah.
That deck still won. You were waiting for Shu Lane to come out. And Chu Lane never came out. Now, granted, Chu Lane does cost five, but it just provides so much value with drawing a card and then putting a land onto the just putting a land on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Like, let me play out three dorks in a row. I'm going to draw three cards and maybe put out three lands.
Yeah. Even if you only put out two, I mean, you still drew three cards.
Uh-huh. And ramped.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
So, and that's why Chu Lane, Teller of Tales, needs to be ended.
Immediately.
Yeah, when it's on the battlefield.
So I have a commander that this is a deck that I play. I currently play it. I still play it. Mm-hmm. And I understand it should be removed. But it's pretty hard to.
It is hard to remove.
It's really hard to remove it. So I am playing and going to talk about the Locust God. Mm-hmm. So the Locust God is a 4/4 flying god for four, a blue, and a red. It says, whenever you draw a card, create a 1/1 blue and red insect creature token with flying and haste. And then you can pay two, a blue and a red, to draw a card and then discard a card. And then when the Locust God dies, return it to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back over and over. So it's got the Hour of Devastation.
Yes.
God clause.
Yes.
So you've got the Locust God, the Scarab God, and the Scorpion God. All three of them have that same clause. When it dies, return it to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. It just keeps coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the Locust God is a deck that plays off of card draw. Best thing you can do, a lot of people already play it in decks that are red and blue.
Yeah.
And this one just already gets value from drawing cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out, I feel, at a higher power level because you can build a budget, non-focused deck.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I've got some card draw. I've got some red-blue things. The red-blue things likely work together.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out at a higher power level. If you give the Locust God player a turn to untap with any decent amount of mana, it will start to just steamroll because those Locust Gods have... The Locusts have haste.
Yeah, they sure do.
And that is what a lot of people look at it and go, oh, you're swinging for 10. Well, yeah, they have haste and flying.
Mm-hmm. And the next turn, it's 30.
The next turn, it's 30 or 50 or whatever it is that you want to make it. So the Locust God plays with a lot of cards that just get value off of creatures entering the battlefield. So a couple of the top cards here, Impact Tremors. When a creature enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to each opponent. It's an enchantment. Really, really strong. The original Purphoros God of the Forge, indestructible. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 2 damage to each opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You're just drawing 1 single card and potentially dealing 3 to each opponent, and then you're getting a flying haste bug that doesn't go away at the end of turn.
Nope.
Doesn't have anything special there. It's just a bug.
With haste. And flying.
That
you got for free by also drawing a card.
Which, who doesn't want that?
It's
you
great.
Know, a lot of blue-red decks play cards like Windfall, Reforge the Soul, Magus the Wheel. Maybe you can afford a Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing them, you discard your hand and potentially draw 7. Some of those will draw 7. Windfall doesn't necessarily. You're like, all right, well, let's draw 7. Then maybe I loop it into another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I only did this once, play Narset, Parter of Veils, and then loop it, and then feel actually really bad, and then take Narset, Parter of Veils out of your deck. So that happened once. you're likely going to combo enough in your one turn, even if you only wheel twice,
mm-hmm.
or you just draw like 12 cards.
Mm-hmm.
Just draw 12
just,
cards.
Just draw 12.
Just a casual 12. A casual 12.
Yeah.
And then you play cards like Bite and Thassa. When your creatures deal damage, you draw cards. So you made bugs that are mm-hmm. going to hit, mm-hmm. and then you're going to draw cards, and you make more bugs to block with. So you've got Reconnaissance Mission, Bite and Thassa, Coastal Piracy. They all do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is part of a 2-card combo now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Technically 2, but 3 if you don't want it to ever end. So Sage of the Falls is a Merfolk Wizard from Throne of Eldraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's an uncommon. It's a 2/5 for 5. And it says when it or another human, non-human, enters the battlefield under your control, you can draw a card. If you do, discard. So if the Locust God is out and then you play Sage of the Falls, Sage says draw a card. When it enters, which you draw, and then you make an insect. And then that's a non-human, so then you draw a card. And you're discarding the entire time. So if you're playing one of the original Eldrazi Titans that have the clause, when this gets put into your graveyard, shuffle your entire graveyard into your library,
mm-hmm.
you just decide when you want to stop, because Sage of the Fall says you may draw a card.
Right.
So essentially, you just keep cycling through your deck until you have enough bugs, right? Assuming everybody's taken a little bit of damage, mm-hmm. and we're all down to maybe 30.
Sure.
You need 90 bugs. That's all you need. But you're probably playing cards that pump your bugs too. So when they swing, they get plus X plus O for each other creature that shares a type with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're playing Coat of Arms.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're playing my favorite, the artifact from... I can't think of the name of it. It's from Throne of Eldraine, Guild of Ravnica or Ravnica Allegiance. And it has creatures that are 2 colors get +1/+1.
Something of the Guild Pact.
I can't think of it right now. What is it? Okay, of the Guild Pact.
That's exactly what I looked up to.
Is it of the Guild Pact? Glass of the Guild Pact. Yeah. You're right. From Ravnica Allegiance. So multicolored creatures you control get +1/+1. Those locusts are red and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a bunch of 2/2s that have haste. So you might only need half the amount. So if you get 15 bugs in one turn, you're actually probably just going to take one person out. And then if you take out the person that's in the colors or has a deck that's going to deal with yours,
mm-hmm.
you just take them out. And then the next turn, you might actually just win.
That's right.
So for that reason, the Locust God has to go, but you can't just kill the Locust God because it comes back to your hand. So for the Locust God, you really need exile effects.
Right.
So shove it back in the command zone.
So for the Locust God, this will be the only one on our list that is exile on site.
Yes. Remove on site. Yes. Exile on site. It needs to get banished for a little bit. So it has to like spend a little more time walking back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not gone for
it's
sure.
Got, it's got wings though. It ain't walking. It's flying.
Is it flying?
It is.
Those wings don't seem stable enough to lift that body.
The card says flying. This isn't a bumblebee discussion right now, Andy, about whether the wings can make it fly.
I feel like he flies when he wants to fly, and that's when he's attacking and blocking.
That's how I feel about Nicol Bolas. Nicol Bolas should be a planeswalker that cannot be hit by creatures on the ground. Put it on the board, Wizards of the Coast.
He flies that high. They're high flyer.
Unless they have reach. Creatures
can
with
they
reach
that high?
If they have a bone arrow, yeah. Most creatures with reach, I guess, are depicted with a bone arrow or they're super tall. So, yeah. My next commander is one that had a lot of discussion when it got released. It's an Ikoria commander. It's Simic colored. Whoa. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Who knew?
This is Keenan, Bonder Prodigy. So for green and a blue, you get a 2-2 human druid. So 2 mana for a 2-2. That's already good by itself. Whenever you tap a non-land permanent for mana, add 1 mana of any type that permanent produced. You just double all of your rocks and your dorks? Wow, hey, that's...
why not?
That's really good for 2 mana. A 2 mana 2-2 that doubles all of your rocks and dorks. Oh, wait, there's another clause here on this card.
Oh, wow.
No, for 5, a green and a blue, you can look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a non-human creature card from among them onto the battlefield and put the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order. It's like, wow, 7/7 mana to activate that ability for this card that already doubles all of your rocks and your dorks.
Feels like it probably happens on curve.
Yeah, it probably happens on turn 3. So yeah, this deck is all about playing mana rocks, dorks, and then giant spells, whether they're X spells because you have a ton of mana, giant creatures that you're going to get out with Keenan's ability, or you're just going to play something broken like Basalt Monolith. So Basalt Monolith is a 3 CMC artifact that taps for 3 colorless mana, and then you can pay 3 to untap it because it doesn't untap on the untap step. But with Keenan out, Basalt Monolith taps for 4, not 3. And then you can use 3 to untap it. Now you have infinite colorless mana. And this is on curve. This is on turn 3. Now you have infinite colorless on turn 3. Holy crap. There's not a lot you can do with just infinite colorless, but you can play Eldrazi Titans, giant X spells like Finale of Devastation, Blue Sun Zenith and Finale of Revelation if you want to go for the card draw strategy. You start playing cards like Seedborn Muse so that you can untap all of your creatures on every single person's turn. You can get the Praetors out as some of these creatures. This deck just plays really fast mana and bombs. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole deck, which is why you need to remove Keenan Bonder Prodigy faster, arguably. Well, he's going to get a Nyx Bloom Agent out too. Whoever's playing Keenan, they're going to have Nyx Bloom Agent in their deck. And then you're going to have to go, which one do I kill?
Nyx Bloom Agent.
It produces more mana, but it doesn't have the activated ability. Then again, Keenan might only cost 6 mana still, even if it's died twice.
Get rid of Nyx Bloom Agent, then Keenan. But yeah, you really need to get rid of Keenan before that Nyx Bloom Agent.
Yeah, don't let Keenan stay. It is very simple. Keenan, just way too strong of a card.
Remove it. It was really good in Brawl. Needs to go.
Yeah, sure
needs does. To go. So my last commander is a commander that relates to Muldrotha. In a very similar way, mm-hmm. does it a little differently, but this is Marin of Clan Mill-Toth. So ooh, a classic commander, Golgari, a 3/4 human shaman for 2, a black and a green that says whenever another creature you control dies, you get an experience counter. I really like the experience counters commanders. Mm-hmm. Why not add something else to track in the game? I actually really like having to do all that kind of stuff.
I know you do.
So at the beginning of your end step, choose target creature in your graveyard. If that card's converted mana cost is less than or equal to the number of experience counters you have, return it to the battlefield. Otherwise, put it in your hand. So this is specifically related to creatures. So Muldrotha does a bunch of permanents. Mm-hmm. This can't cast them necessarily, but it can bring them back. And if it can't bring it back right now, it's going to put it back into your hand. So you say, I want to play Golgari. I also want to play Control. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the deck for you.
Yeah.
So it just gets value over time. You don't even mind that your creatures die. You're like, whatever. You were meant to go.
That's
so
right.
The best, your best bet is to really remove Marin here. Spore Frog, you mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't already have nightmares from Spore Frog? It's a nightmare to play against. Spore Frog itself says, sacrifice Spore Frog, prevent all combat damage. It's a 1/1 for a single green. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get an experience counter. At the end of my turn, I'm just going to bring it back. Oh, I needed to save it because I'm afraid you're going to swing at me. I'll just sack it on your turn and bring it back on my turn. Mm-hmm. So this deck, along with some that we've already mentioned, maybe you should just throw a little bit of graveyard hate in your decks.
Nah,
I know fine. Coil is not a fan, but you know, Rest in Peace is going to go a long way against many of these commanders. It stays alive mm-hmm. because it needs a little bit of life. So maybe you're just going to bring back Grey Merchant of Asphodel. Or you're going to recur a Kokoshou, and you're just going to steal life from your opponents. Seems pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
Caustic Caterpillar, you know, what are you going to do with that? It's a 1/1 for 1, but it also has pay 2, sack it, destroy an artifact or an enchantment.
Yep.
So, you need to do that 6 times in a game? Okay, well, Marin's going to do that.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. Mm-mm. So for that reason, because it just starts to steamroll and, again, snowball out of control. If mm-hmm. you leave them alone too long, and this was also mentioned on Twitter after we had already created our list, someone said, you know, commanders that do too much, if you leave them alone, sometimes you can't come back from it. 100% with Marin.
Oh, yeah.
And for that reason, she's kill on sight.
Bye-bye.
See ya. So those are the commanders. Again, no particular order that we have experience with that we think should be killed on sight. What commanders do you think, the listeners, that should be kill on sight? Tweet at us. A lot of you already have. We got a lot of private messages, and we did get responses in our Discord, but we are interested in hearing what your thoughts are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know one type of commander that people talked about in that, and we're going to transition here into Commander of the Week with this. One type of commander people talked about is a kill on sight are these cheat out commanders, commanders that allow you to cheat out big permanents, random permanents, just cards. Mm-hmm. Atla Pilani, Ilharg the Razbor, and Kalia of the Vast were all mentioned. But I decided to build one of the new Ikoria commanders, again, mutate, which isn't actually kill on sight, but more it's kill the thing it's about to mutate onto.
Yes, it is.
So this is Iluna. I have dubbed this deck Iluna Mahdi, Mason of the Free. So if you want to look up the Illuminati and the Freemasons, go ahead and you'll understand that reference. So Iluna, Apex of Wishes, is a 5 CMC in Teemer, which is 2 green, blue, and a red, and you get a 6/6 flying trample. Or you can mutate for 6 CMC, so one extra, 3 green or blue, or sorry, green or red and 2 blue. And Luna says, whenever this creature mutates, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land permanent card, put that card onto the battlefield or into your hand. So you have the option of putting it into your hand if you want to. And I don't think I actually have any cards that I would want to put in my hand in here. So I play the important part about building a Luna. A lot of people say, well, it's 6 CMC in order to mutate. We're going to need to get permanents out there, need to get mana rocks out there, mana dorks out there, so we can get to that 6 CMC. There's a huge risk in doing that, and that you might actually hit those mana dorks when you start exiling cards from the top of your library, and that is a bad hit. You don't want to do that. But you need creatures on the battlefield in order to mutate onto, and if you're playing nothing but bombs, your bombs might cost more mana than your commander. So how do you make this work? I play 35 instants and sorceries that either make tokens or bounce a Luna back to my hand, basically. Nice. So yeah, we're going to play a lot of the tokens that you probably know, like Dragon Fodder, which is 2 CMC sorcery. We get 2/1/1 red goblin creature tokens. You know, Sapperling Migration, where you can kick it and get 2/1 green Sapperling token, or 4 if you kick it, 2 if you don't. But, you know, there's a couple other cards that you can play in there that have some extra synergies, such as Artifact Mutation. This was in the recent Ikoria deck. So for a red and a green, you get an instant that says destroy target artifact. It can't be regenerated. Create X 1/1 green Sapperling creature tokens, where X is this artifact's converted mana cost. So step one, create token, non-human token creatures that you can mutate onto.
Non-human. We remember this now.
Gotta do that. Step two, bombs. That's the whole deck. The whole deck.
All right. Tell us about some of the bombs. What are some of our bombs here?
So since we're going to play a lot of tokens, we're automatically going to start putting in a couple of bombs that are just going to help us in that sense. So we're going to have Doubling Season, Growing Rites of Itlamok. We're going to play so that we can flip it into a cradle as soon as possible, and Parallel Lives. So those are the big ones that care about tokens. They're going to double all of the tokens that we create. But we're also going to help do some additional token creations like Sandworm Convergence, 8 CMC enchantment. At your end step, you get a 5/5. Creatures with flying can't attack you. Shark Typhoon, whenever you cast a spell, a non-creature spell, which we're only pretty much going to be casting non-creature spells, you get an XX Flying Shark, where X is the converted mana cost of that spell. We're going to cheat all these out. I actually finally found a deck to have Thousand Year Storm in it.
Nice.
So we're going to cheat Thousand Year Storm out, and then we're going to start copying our token creation spells. And we play War Storm Surge so that we can kill our opponents.
And that has to happen eventually.
You
right?
Gotta kill them. You gotta kill them. We are gonna play Crystal Shard in this. Crystal Shard is an artifact where you can pay 3 or blue and tap it to return target creature's own hand unless the owner pays 1. We're not gonna pay the 1. We're gonna keep bouncing Luna. The lowest CMC quote unquote bombs we're playing are actually gonna be very important. We're gonna play Isochron Scepter, as one of these so that we can actually imprint one of our token instance or sorceries under it and start just making tokens every single turn.
I love this.
The other one is Rift Sweeper. So if you read Aluna carefully, it says exile the cards from the top of your library until you reveal that permanent. The buck stops there. Those cards remain exiled. So Rift Sweeper is a 2 CMC 2/2 Elf Shaman that says when it enters the battlefield, choose target face-up exiled card. Its owner shuffles it into his or her library. So, you know, I play some instants and sorceries that I would really like back in my deck, like, I don't know, Triumph of the Hordes, a 4 CMC sorcery that says until end of turn, creatures you control get +1/+1 trample and infect. So if I exile that and I hit a Rift Sweeper, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just shuffle that Triumph of the Hordes right back in, no problem. So I do have some, I do have that one card. I can't find any other cards that will do it without my opponents processing the cards back from my exile with an Eldrazi, which nobody does. So the other cards in here that are just going to create tokens and do super high synergy stuff, we have Avenger of Zendikar, Brutoclad, we have Craterhoof, Endraise Forerunners, Mykoloth, Xyrus the Writhing Storm, one of the new teamer legendary creatures from our newest commander series. I also took a page out of our buddy Ryan's deck, and I'm playing Wart the Raid Mother, mm-hmm. because with these tokens, I'll be able to conspire in order to make even more tokens. Riku of Two Reflections, which has recently been printed in Double Masters, goes in here to double some of the creatures as tokens when they come into the field. So maybe I'll get like 2 Craterhoof Behemoths when they come in instead of 3. And of course, just like Andy's Scarab God deck, we got to throw OG Purphoros in there and try to win a game.
I love it.
So this is my deck. You can build this super more broken, just FYI. You can put 1 non-land permanent in this deck and just go for it. It's very linear.
What is the non-land? What, I mean, you can
go,
just pick when you want.
You can go Lab Man or Jace or Thassa's Oracle in here. You can... I don't know what else, actually. Is there something that cares about how many cards you have in exile? What about that? There's a red blue Drake that they printed that gets +1/+0 for every instant or sorcery in your graveyard or exile.
But that's your win con.
It still has 4 toughness on its butt, but it's easily removable. But yeah, so that's my version of Aluna, Apex of Wishes.
And the deck list will be in the show notes below. So I think that's the end of our episode this week.
Yes.
Again, these are all commanders that we would kill on site. And in the case of your commander of the week, you kill its mutate target on site.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
You got
to
do it immediately. Sorry. So thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at AT Flory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. And if you're on Discord and interested in joining the discussion, send us a message and we'll get you an invite. That's it for this week.
Thanks for listening.
We will see you all.
Well,
episode 62. I think we've had this. I say see.
Yeah, you do.
You're going to hear us again next week as, you know, per my last podcast.
Per my CCBCC email that I sent to you last week.
It'll be episode 62, though. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Just didn't make because we had friends that made them and then took them apart once. It's like, oh, I was going to build that and then so-and-so built it. So I, okay, that I won't. And it's like, they took it apart immediately because they realized